than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Overcast.
Missed it.
Did I flip you?
You did.
I did.
Overcast.
There you go. I was trying to throw you off a little bit.
Oh man. Now it's just, I hope this isn't a prerequisite of the show, dude.
That's what I think it's going to be.
We're train wreck like our offense.
Yeah.
I was like, you said the Baltimore Sports Report
player.fm.
Because I memorized it.
Yeah.
And then I'm like sitting here like, and then you just did that. And I was like, oh my gosh.
All right. Nice. I just was messing with you a little bit.
I'm gonna get you back. Next week's Friday the 13th. Remember that.
Oh, that's right.
And you're getting it.
You're showing up in a Jason mask.
It's your favorite holiday or close to it.
Friday the 13th in October on Halloween.
It's not getting any better than that, right?
Yeah. Well, we are available on player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel.
That's right. Let's do it right. We'll do it on the outro. How's that?
Yeah, that sounds good. All right. I was just trying to mess with you a little bit. I got to give you a couple ribs. I mean, it was your birthday yesterday.
That's right.
So I got to do that.
Thank you.
So you got a lot of love on the Facebook page.
I sure did. Thank you to all. Not only, Twitter, Facebook, the call Facebook page, man. Thank you to all who's come by to wish me a happy birthday. It was a grand day, man. It was great.
Yeah. You have a good time? Just
sure did.
Relaxing.
Caps with the hat trick, Ovi.
Looking
how about that?
Good. Yeah.
That was great. And I got to see a great Thursday night football game. Buccaneers almost pulled out. How about that kicker?
Oh, man.
0-3.
God bless Tucker.
Dude, he kind of bad. It just goes to show you, we don't want to take anything for granted, even a punter or a kicker.
Right.
Just put that way. I mean, everybody takes these players for granted, but really, he's single-handedly, but, it's just like a kind of kick or something.
Yeah.
Like that. He just lost the game, and we're granted that very fortunate with the Ravens, obviously, to have Stover and then Tucker, just two great kickers in our history, man, one of the most accurate ever, and, dude, it's awesome to see that, but Patriots almost lost last night. But they're right there. So, I mean, again, the AFC's wide open. If the Ravens get out of their own way, and we're definitely going to cover everything here on the Purple Friday preview.
That's right. Purple Friday preview. The Ravens are going to California, to Oakland, to face up.
Hotel California is one of my favorite songs, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to play it in the spirit of this weekend. Or California Dreaming. Because dream on if we think this team's going to get it together, right?
Well, I mean, they have a good opportunity to get everything together because
right.
The Raiders quarterback, Derek Carr, already been announced that he will not be playing this Sunday, even though he practiced yesterday, which is insane that they're saying he's going to be out 2 to 6 weeks and he practiced just mere days after the injury.
Insane.
Yeah. So what does this mean for Derek Carr to be out and for this new guy, EJ Manuel, to come in? Because EJ Manuel, I mean, he's beaten the Ravens in the past.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you said new guy, but I mean, we've seen him before in Buffalo.
He's a veteran.
Tyrod Taylor. Yeah, he's been there.
Yeah.
He's had flashes of great games, and I think that type of prototype quarterback where he runs, I don't know his speed now, being that he hasn't been in the spotlight in the starting position,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like that's still going to give us fits. If we can't contain, our outside edges are so tough, man.
Yeah.
I mean, Bell was running up and down the field. In the middle, it was fine. And I know we definitely want to cover the matchup with Brandon Williams going to beast mode this weekend, but the edges, man, if we can't solidify the edges, we're in trouble.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing I'm worried about most is that now that there's a new quarterback in, they're going to change their plan up a little bit because Derek Carr in the past has owned the Ravens. I mean, he's a fantastic passing quarterback. With this new guy coming in, I'm wondering, are they going to focus more on the run, go with Marshawn Lynch a little bit more than they would because Brandon Williams still has not practiced. So there's a very good chance he's not playing on Sunday. So that means the middle is going to be wide open for him.
Absolutely, and it's going to be a long day if that happens. And
yeah.
Bell, again, he wasn't running up the middle much. So I really thought the presence of Brandon Williams at the middle, I want to be careful here. I want to say he wasn't missed. We surely miss him. Mm-hmm. But I felt like with all the merry-go-round and the changes that we have to do on the line,
yeah,
Brandon Williams not there, it creates a catastrophe on the sides because the edges are contained. And if Marshawn gets outside,
yeah,
it's going to be a long day for us. He has had a mediocre season so far coming back out of retirement.
Yeah, because what? He missed last year, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he took a year off. And obviously he came back to play for his hometown before they moved to Vegas. So I feel like he's not the beast mode of old. He still has flashes,
right,
but he's still dangerous because if we don't, you know, take him, you know, for what he is and just go about it nonchalant, I feel like he's going to carve us up.
Yeah, that's definitely a concern I have. I mean, the running game really for the Oakland Raiders, I think, is going to be the biggest problem against the Ravens defense. Now, looking at who didn't practice on Wednesday and Thursday, Brandon Williams, of course, didn't practice. Jimmy Smith missed Wednesday and Thursday, but it was announced earlier today, we're recording this on Friday, that everything is fine and he will be part of the game on Sunday. Lardarius Webb missed Wednesday. He was a full participant on Thursday, so maybe he's a little banged up. And then Ben Watson, Max Williams both missed Wednesday again. So the tight end position, again, is a concern. But looking at the defense, there's a lot of banged up players right here.
And there
is. Jimmy Smith, he missed Wednesday due to a personal issue. But Thursday
he had a baby.
He had a baby? Is that what it was?
Twitter. I look on it. Jimmy's Famous Seafood, I think, tweeted out because Jimmy Smith is obviously a big advocate for them.
Uh-huh.
Let me look at it. Why? Because in coming in and preparing for the recording of the show, I was checking Twitter to see if there's any breaking news at last minute. And I believe I did see Jimmy Smith had a second child, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay.
Let me get back to you on that. But I firmly believe that
that's
could
a good
be
reason
the case
to miss practice.
Oh, yep. 52 minutes ago, the Ravens say Coach Harbaugh said Jimmy Smith is good to go after returning to practice today. So there you go.
Okay, so he's got a little bit of a nagging Achilles injury, but that's not why he missed Wednesday. It's why he missed Thursday, but it doesn't seem to be as big a deal
as
anything to be concerned about. But
yes, he did have a 1 hour ago, Jimmy's Famous Seafood tweeting out, congratulations to our friend Jimmy Smith on the birth of his second child, and to all the Ravens reporters tweeting he was hurt for likes. So, but there's the picture. There they are.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, good for them.
Yeah, Jimmy Smith.
Congratulations, Jimmy Smith.
Welcome a newborn to the Ravens family. That's great. So, yeah, that's a legit reason to be out this week.
Yeah, absolutely.
About Flacco's family, 4 kids.
Is it 4? I thought he had 5.
4.
Is it 4?
Jeez,
okay.
I wouldn't put it past me to match his number 5. I mean, he could have 7. I don't know, but they have a big family up there, man.
Let's talk a little bit about Joe and about this offense. This offense has had plenty of problems this year.
Yes.
50 on Joe, 50 on the offensive line being banged up, I think. I mean, don't want to throw it all on Joe, but he definitely could play better. What is his streak right now for interceptions in a game?
I think it's 11.
11.
Don't quote me, but I think it's 11 or 12. It's around that 10. It's in early teens, but I'm pretty sure it was 10. I think it's 11 now. If it's 12 or 13, it's around that.
All right, so that's something that concerns me with Joe. Joe definitely needs to play better. He's got to get the interceptions under control. I don't want to see another interception from him on Sunday. How does he get over that hump of not throwing an interception like that? Because to me, he panics and just throws the ball and hopes for the best.
Right. I think he's got to let the game come to him, man. Yeah. I mean, he's got to slow it down. I think when you try to do too much and when your playmakers aren't making plays, Perryman's not catching, Wallace shots a pass, you almost want to lose faith in those guys. So it's like you take it upon yourself as, you know what, I'm going to have to force the ball in there and make a hero call. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to look like a hero and then look like the jerk at the end of the day. And
right,
that's what happens. I was just talking about it to my friends the other day. Joe Flacco throws a laser throw to Mike Wallace for a touchdown, but makes an ill-advised throw for an interception. It's like, what gives? Again, and if you watched last night, Brady was mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
He threw a pick on his first pass.
Yeah.
Ill-advised, and it was right to the guy. His line was not blocking for him. Brady was getting blasted all day. I think he was sacked 5 or 6 times, if I'm not mistaken, in that game last night. He was hurried a lot. It seemed like he was under duress, getting crunched. So, now I tweeted out last night, Brady's only good as his line because look how bad he's playing, and they barely, if it wasn't for the kicker, they would have lost that game.
Right.
He only threw one touchdown, and he had one pick, and he threw for like a bunch of yards. That's about it. And he didn't have Gronk.
Yeah.
Gronk was the late scratch. So if you look at it that way, it's the same play. But you got to take it upon yourself to play better, but you almost want to elevate your game. What made Ray Lewis so great is he was that leader, but not only did he do that, but he made everybody else play better because he was on the field, because it's like, oh, it's Ray. He's playing so great. I got to play up to that potential. So he elevated everybody around him in the defense. And I feel like, Joe, when you're in a quarterback like that, look at Peyton Manning, look at Aaron Rodgers, look at the ones before them, you know, Brett Favre now, Drew Brees on his end of his career. When those guys play at a high level, it's like, you know what? I better run my route, Chris, because I got an all-pro quarterback throwing it to me. Or I better get it right because I want to make Joe look good. Or you want to make everybody's got a job to do. And it's, you know how it is. The line don't block. Quarterback looks like crap because he can't stay upright and he's under duress and throws. And then that means you can't allow ample time. Now, if the receivers ain't running the correct routes, you're going to make quarterback look bad because if you, like you've seen with Wallace, if you're supposed to be here on an out route and you're running inside and Joe throws it out, if he throws right to the defender and if it was a route fault, what are you going to do?
Right.
Of course, you're going to pin on Joe, why are you throwing the ball there? But sometimes if you look at football and really look at the game, sometimes it's a design play to go out. And that's where it would have been for first down, but no, Mike Wallace or somebody tries to go inside, and it's a bad play, and then you wonder why. So I feel like, there are some throws he forces, but some interceptions, and we've seen it in Jacksonville against Jacksonville and London. Some were tipped. You can't put that, like you said, again, it does count in stat book as an interception. I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
But the whole streak and the interceptions and stop throwing, it's tough when, and again, it's thrown behind it. I know the one was thrown behind West, and he went to get it, put his hands up, it tipped up, and it's just, fortunately, it was a pick.
Yeah.
But those, just the ball bounces a certain way. You just, okay, it's a tip ball, tip drill. Defense gets their hands on it more time than not. If not, it's incomplete. So I just feel like with that, you really can't put on Joe because, I mean, if you put it right there and the players can't catch and they're batting the ball up like it's volleyball, what are you going to do?
Joe's got to be more accurate. I think Joe, he has no confidence right now, and I think he's scared.
I think there's a lack of something in the room. I mean, I feel like this team don't have a swagger. Yeah. I felt like they had after week two against the Browns at home. It's like, dude, you know, they're cashing in the turnovers. They put up 24 points. You know, this is going to be great. And it's just, I said it last week, they have no fire, no drive. And if they got to Oakland, they're going to have a rude awakening.
Right. Also, I read this stat that the Oakland defensive ends, it's Mack and Edwards, have combined 7 sacks. I mean, if that's something that is on Joe's mind, he's going to want to get rid of that ball before any plays can even happen. I mean, he's going to be constantly looking over his shoulder. I mean, he has Ronnie Stanley there. He has guys that are on that offensive line, but I don't think they're communicating. I don't think these guys are a close enough group to know like what each other is thinking. You know what I mean? Like, it's, they're working together, but it's not like they haven't done it enough, so they don't know each other well enough.
And what's a concern there too is, again, with the blitz, what I say last week again, I feel like I'm repeating history here. Call the plays to counter what they're doing. I saw it last night with Tampa Bay. It's third down. We know the Patriots are bringing the house. What do the Buccaneers do, Brandon? I don't know if you're watching Caps, probably.
I was.
Yeah, I know. I mean, hey, I don't fault you for that. I was flipping back and forth, but I was more on the football and the end of it because it was New England. I wanted to see how they look.
Yeah.
And I just love football. And hockey just started. I was going back and forth. But anyway.
You got time for hockey.
We got time for hockey, but it was great to see an Ovi hat trick to start the season and Pittsburgh losing their first game, which was great. So,
it's always good to see Pittsburgh
lose. We play them next Wednesday, so it's going to be right off the bat.
Rivalry night.
Hey, love it, Wednesday nights in hockey season. But get back to it. What the Buccaneers were doing is they called a quick slant and ended up being like a 20-yard gain. I'm like yelling at the TV, see what you do when they're a blitz. You call a boom, boom, boom play, bang, bang. You get it, and you release it, and the guy's right there. You catch him in stride, and he's going 20 yards down the field. I'm like, was that hard?
Right.
When they're bringing 7-8 guys, and you got 3 or 4 guys total back there to cover, call it a quick slant. Mm-hmm. Call a pick, call a quick, do something. Instead, the Ravens, like they did last week, they know it's 3rd and 9. You know the Steelers are bringing 8. Yeah. What do they do? Flacco in a shotgun, back to pass. He's looking at his progressions, and then 4 seconds later, he's under duress and then dropped for a sack, and then he's 4th down, got a punt. I'm like, that to me is where it starts. And if they don't call the right plays at the right time, you're going to make your players look like fools, and that's what's happening. Yeah.
I think what actually might help the offensive line, at least this week, is the fact that Austin Howard is going back to Oakland, the team that let him go real late in training camp, that the Ravens picked up for 3 years. I think he was in his 3rd year of a 5-year deal with Oakland, and they let him go. I mean, I think like Steve Smith before him, like Mike Wallace last year, he's going to Oakland, and he's going to have something to prove. So I think that's going to work out in our offense and Joe's favor as well.
it's a good track record to follow that, because it seems like with any players that come here after the team snubbed them or didn't keep them, there's always that chip on their shoulder, like, well, we're going back, I'm going to show them.
Yeah.
But that's where the emotions got to keep in check, because you don't want to overcompensate for that.
You don't want flags all over the place,
and
yeah.
You get hold or get excited with, like you said, Mac, with Mac and Edwards coming in, and you don't want them to, oh, here they come, and you get excited. I just really hope that that is a fire under him, and not only he uses that, but it's contagious on the line. But
yeah,
and not just look as a whole. It's, again, looking at the last, you know, the few games that we didn't have Yanda, he's a big part of, man, and
oh,
you can't take it for granted.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we have all this time, and then now you're like, again, when you have Bergstrom and you have Jensen at center and you have, you know, Stanley, who's formidable, and it's just these guys, and you got Howard, you can only do so much with what you're given.
Absolutely.
And I feel like if it's patchwork at best, we're just seeing a repeat history here, and it's got to stop. But the mediocrity in offense has to stop.
Yeah.
I mean, we drafted, and it's funny because we beefed up the defense to stop Pittsburgh's offensive firepower, and we look like crap.
Yeah.
So it's like, what gives? Maybe we should have won offense.
Well, I think maybe like mixing up would have been better, because yes, the defense looked good at the beginning of that Steelers game, but then the offense comes out three and out, and then the defense is right back on the field. I mean, I think it's because there's not really like an even playing ground there that, boom, they're done, they're catching their breath, oh, we got to go back on the field immediately.
Right. And it goes hand in hand, because then you're right, the offense doesn't have the defense, and if the defense, you know, lets up a quick score, you're like, okay, the offense got trot right back out there after they. But it's funny, if that's the case, well, our offense is always out three and out, so they can't be that tired. But
right.
But you want to sustain. You know, the best, I've always said, the best recipe for winning is don't turn the ball over and keep the opponent's offense off the field longer than yours.
Right.
You dominate time possession like we did that in Cincinnati, did we not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and look at all the weapons they got. They were, you know, hailed to be one of the top. I mean, they had Dalton, they had Green, they had Mixon, they had, you know, all these weapons. They had John Ross. They have all these burners, all these weapons, and we kept them, and we shut them out, dude.
Yeah.
We shut them out. So I'm thinking, after that was a statement, I'm like, okay, when the Browns, it was the Bengals who went to playoffs last year. You know, they've been in the perennial playoffs for 5 years straight, I believe. They're always there. They've been up and coming in the last decade, and we shut them out. Okay, that was a statement. Then you let the Browns get a garbage touchdown. Okay, you let up 10 points there. Okay, and then all of a sudden, you look like Blake Bortles, look like a future Hall of Famer, and then Steelers come into town, and you look like crap, too. It's like, what gives? And I feel like they lost the winning formula, and they got to get it back quick, man.
Yeah. I mean, the next stretch of games, I'm not going to say any of them are easy.
No.
But the hardest part of the season, I think, was this past 4 weeks, because it was the Steelers. It was all it was London. It was in division. It was London. It was a long travel. I mean, I think now that that's out of the way, the next 4 weeks are games that they could win. I mean, they seem like, at least at the beginning of the year, looking at it, these four games should all be wins by the Ravens.
Right, and you don't want to count on injuries and hope that happens to players, but fortunately, I'll say this, fortunately, we're not playing against Carr,
right,
who's been a crazy good quarterback in the last few years, who got the big contract, well-deserving. Mm-hmm. Crabtree, again, he'll be there. He's banged up.
He's a big question mark. He practiced on Thursday, but we're not really sure.
No.
It's kind of going to be a game-time decision. He's got a lung bruise, which, oof. A
little bit.
That hurts.
A little bit of owie right there, man.
Yeah.
And you have to see how that progresses towards the weekend. Ravens have never fared in West Coast, as we know, man. They're 4-12 on the road all the time.
That's for the last 2 years.
And not all the time. And then lost the last three of its West Coast trips. Remember when we went back there in 15? So I feel like when we do make those trips, we've never really had that footing under us to get. I mean, we've gone to Seattle and laid an egg. We've gone to San Francisco and looked horrible.
Right.
I remember going to Chargers. I mean, we've had some battles with the Chargers here and then there.
Yeah.
The last time I think we were in what was formerly San Diego, now LA, with the Chargers.
Yeah.
I think it was the 4th-and-29 play, believe it or not. So we've had some luck on the road out there. We've gone to Arizona, had the crazy Monday night game, which we should have won a few years back. So, I mean, we've gone out there and had some good games, but I feel like, again, you're right, the trip, you know, with the traveling, and now they went across the pond that way. Now they're traveling 3,000 miles the other way.
Right.
And it's going to be a 4 o'clock kickoff, 1 o'clock, you know, their time, obviously. So, I mean, it's still, a real-time game to them because it's a 1 o'clock game, but they just know it's at stake and they got to get done. But I feel like if they don't keep Amari Cooper in check, they don't keep Beast Mode in check, if Manuel can get these guys the ball and make plays, it's going to be a long afternoon, man. And I hate to say this, man, but I mean, it's the elements are right there for rooting for the Ravens win, but it's kind of like you want to go by pattern history and saying, I don't see no confidence. I don't see, especially in the press conferences, it feel like they're playing the blame game. It's pointing the fingers. They're not taking ownership for anything. It's, well, it's, you know, they're going to attribute it to IR injuries or, oh, well, it, you know, Woodhead got hurt and Yonda got hurt and this and that, and it's going to affect. No. Play football. I mean, who cares? Yeah, if a star player gets hurt, but I've seen the Green Bay Packers win a Super Bowl when they had near 20 people in IR, and they beat when they won Super Bowl 45, if I'm not mistaken. And they had a big amount. I think Charles Woodson was one of them that was hurt, if my memory serves correct.
Right.
So I remember his arm was in a sling. I just can't remember who it was that championship year. They had their big tight end, Michael Finley, hurt that year. Speaking of the Packers, so I feel like teams have been here before, and they can't make excuses, and I feel like the Ravens use everything as a crutch. Well, it was the travel. We're not going to London no more. It was a bad game, and then they carried that over. And then now it's like, it's just, I feel like no one's taking ownership. Like, look, we got to play better. Do your jobs. It's the blame game, and it's just really tough right now because you want to be sensible in picking the game. Obviously, I'm not, you know, picking the game just for pick'em sake and sitting here talking about breaking it down, you know, no monetary value on it. But it's like you want to lean towards Ravens because of the car injury. You're like, okay, that's advantage Ravens. They're without their best offensive player. But then it's like, until the Ravens prove otherwise, they have a lot of issues. And it's like it gives you anything not to pick the Raiders at this point.
All right, so last question, and then we'll give our predictions and everything of what we think is going to happen. Alex Collins, he's still a big question mark to me. He's like the one shining bright mark on the offense, but he does have those fumble problems.
You know what song comes to mind when I think of him, that when you said that one shining moment?
Oh, yeah.
Remember from the NCAA tournament?
Yeah.
One shining moment. Yeah, that. Because he gets that bright spot and he fumbles, and you're like, oh, dude.
So, like, how everyone's talking about how much of a leash do you give the guy? Like, you know, do you give him free range? Does he get the starting spot? Or do you hold him back a little bit and maybe keep him off the field? Because, again, we do have Terrence West. We do have Buck Allen. So what do you think in this game against the Raiders? What do we do with Alex Collins?
What do? We just keep using him. Give him the rock. I mean, fumbles can be forgiven. They can be taught. Just hold the ball a certain way. Hold on to it with your life.
Yeah.
You know, if a lot of running backs used to carry the ball loose, LeSean McCoy is one of them, especially in Philly. He got under control, but he would run down the field, and he would carry that ball like a loose, so loose, and I'm like, dude, you know, you're going to get popped, and it's going to just come right out, and it happens. Collins just got to get down on control, but I feel like he's the best spark and the best energetic. I feel like give him the rock. And from a fantasy standpoint, a lot of people are loving him this weekend to play. I have to start him because I have a few running backs on buys in fantasy, so I have him starting in a few squads. So I feel like from that standpoint, fantasy and reality, I feel like the Ravens need to use him a lot, and they will. I feel like they need a spark, and I feel like they need a change of pace. And I don't care if your name's Wes. I don't care if your name's, you know, Tomlinson or whoever is a running back. I feel like you're Peterson. You know, if they're not performing, let somebody else get it. And I feel like Collins right now is something to prove.
All right, so West Coast trip, Ravens, Oakland. What do you think? Who's going to win?
You have to put me on the spot. Can I call a tie? Because I really don't want to pick this one.
Let
you go first. I'm still mauling this one. I'm tough. I'm torn.
Unfortunately, I'm saying the Ravens are going to lose this Sunday. When the schedule came out, I originally thought this was going to be a loss anyway because it's on the West Coast. I think, yes, Derek Carr getting injured, horrible accident for him, good for the Ravens because we don't have to face him. However, they do have other weapons that, you know, if the quarterback goes down, there's other things they can do. But that travel, we saw what happened in London. We saw what happened in 2015. The Ravens don't travel well, especially at those distances. So I think the travel affects this team a whole lot more than anything else. Forget how bad the offense is right now. Forget Brandon Williams is hurt. It's the travel that has me going. I think it'll be a close game, but I don't think they'll be able to pull it off. I think Oakland will win in Oakland. West Coast game. If it's a West Coast game, no matter what, I'm going to say it's a loss.
Wow. And what's intriguing to me is, before I get to mine, is we're going to the site of the black hole dig deeper out of our own black hole because we can make it deeper ourselves.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That's true.
It is, and we don't want to be in our own black hole, man. We got to get out of it. You're right. This is one of those games because it's like the quarterback's hurt. This could be moral victory, a big road win.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of with you. I kind of leaning towards what have you shown me lately
right.
in two games against the Jaguars and at home against the Steelers. Even if they'd have lost by a field goal against the Steelers, I would have had some hope. But when you get trounced like that again 2 weeks in a row,
yeah.
you lose by double-digit points, and you got waxed in London.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've been scored, 76 to 14 or 16?
Oh, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, 19. It's just nuts. I mean, you scored 20 and 24 in the first two games, and you held each opponent to 0 and 10. You give up 44 and 26.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I feel like even if E.J. Manuel gives them the ball, they're going to make plays. He's got beast mode. I feel like they've got too much firepower until the Ravens prove otherwise and get back on the winning side.
Yeah.
I'm with you, bro. Unfortunately, I'm going to share in this as a loss. I think it's going to be a 10-point loss for the Ravens. Any way you slice it, it's going to be a 10-point loss. I feel like we're just not going to do much. And if they come out surprised and go, okay, and they win and go 3-2, we're back on the right side of things. We're right there, keeping pace in the AFC. I mean, you know, the Patriots are 3-2. You know, the Steelers, you got a game this weekend. Obviously, they're 3-1. We got to keep pace, man. But I feel like the time's now. Week 5, we got to get it done. I mean, the season's already a quarter of the way done. It sucks to even say that. But 16 games, 4 is down.
Yep.
Going on number 5. So here we go. First quarter's over. Let's start the clock on the second quarter, 15 minutes on the clock, and let's go. And I feel like we got to get off the right foot, but unfortunately, until they prove otherwise,
mm-hmm.
we got to go by the trends, man. Yeah. I got to see the trends not looking good for us.
Well, that's a bummer.
It is, man. But we got to call it how it is here. I mean,
yeah.
You're not going to sit here, and I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat things and ignore it. Well, no, Derek Carr's out. This is going to be a win for the Ravens. You can't drink the Kool-Aid, man.
Yeah.
Along are those days to where you just got to take the purple shades off and look at it and go, you know what? This team's atrocious right now. They're hot garbage. They're dumpster fire, and I'm gonna call them out. You know, it's atrocious. I mean, I'm a season ticket holder, and I don't speak for everybody out there. I mean, we all spend money accordingly on our team,
mm-hmm.
but it's just sitting there, just watching games. I'm like, they're just pitiful, man. And if you're paid athletes, you just want to put the best foot forward, and I just feel like they don't have it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if there's mutiny. I don't know if it's someone don't like a certain coach or a certain player, but something's going on where. Something's not gelling.
Well, I mean, what a downer to end the show on there. But.
Come on. Yeah.
But Josh,
got to keep it real.
Yeah.
I mean, we do. We can't sit here and drive this thing to where we need to drive it and be all rosy about it. I mean, you just
everything's great.
Yeah. Everything's great. Great football team. Love them. Love the city. You can't, man.
Yeah.
It's we keep it real on the call, and that's what we do. And we gotta if Joe Flacco says he sucks, well, we need to call him out and say why. You know, it's needing to play better. Okay, well, what are you going to do to play better? I don't want to hear the speak.
Yeah.
Like, I don't hear the press conference. Well, we got to, like Harbaugh, we got to play better. Well, we know that, dude.
Yeah.
What are you going to do that?
It's
what
like,
are you
it's
doing
like
to
girls
fix that?
On dating apps when they say, oh, I just love to have fun. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yep. Exactly. Or you call them out on what's the truth, and it's the opposite.
Right.
So I feel like every and that's
no offense to girls that are on dating apps, by the way.
Absolutely not.
That's just been my own personal experience. That
sucks for your personal experience, man. You need to get a new app.
They suck, man.
Sorry, man. I don't want to tell you. I'm not an expert in that area, so I don't do the apps. I don't do the. You lost my train of thought. I had a good one.
Sorry.
Oh, it's about accountability. I'm tired of hearing them up on the podium going through the motions, saying what they want to hear. No, if you're going to say, well, we got to play better, or we got to do this, or Joe Flacco says I suck, what are you doing to fix that?
Right.
What is going on in practice? Are you guys going to call different plays? Are you guys going to do this? Are you going to do that? Or are you going to just rush out in the same mediocrity and go through a season and you're going to end up at 5-11 and get a draft pick? I mean, what are we doing here?
Right.
You know, why are we playing the games? Why you think we have a championship pedigree? And why we think we're running a first-class franchise who has upgrades to a stadium if that's not the case? I want to get back to winning. Yeah, winning fixes everything, and I don't want to be spoiled brats and win all the time, but... Yeah, I want to win as bad as anybody, being as a fan of ruining team on, but
mm-hmm.
there comes a point to where, rubber meets the road, you got to make some wholesale changes, man. And I feel like if we lose abysmally and we only score like 7 or 10 points and they score like 30, I think Marty's gone.
Oh, really?
I'm calling
it
right now. I'm calling it right now. Marty's gone.
Wow. That would be like the shortest
tenure for... Marty's
gone,
Greg Roman will take over as offensive coordinator. I'm calling it right now.
My God.
If we have a bad performance on offense again.
So is all right, then I got another question before we end up. Is Joe Flacco an offensive coordinator killer? Like, everybody says Ovechkin, you know, we're talking hockey since it's like happened last night. Ovechkin's a coach killer.
For What the Puck, right?
Yeah, What the Puck. It's available all those places where the call is available.
iTunes,
as well.
Stitcher, Radio, Sports Report, Overcast, all that.
Overcast.
Yeah, there we go. See, we're getting there. But
I mean, you're right. He's been a coach. He's been called a coach killer many times. So is Joe Flacco an OC killer, or is Harbaugh an offensive coordinator killer?
See, it's funny because you think about that, but then I remember watching the America's Game 2012 Ravens.
Right.
And there's a clip with Flacco on the sideline jawing at Cam Cameron. And I think it was like the 11th season, right before the championship year. And he was barking at Cam Cameron saying, we can't win a football game doing this, or we can't win a championship calling this. I don't know what it was, but go back to the clip. He was like saying, like, we can't do what we're doing to get where we're going to go if we keep doing it. That's what he was saying. So I know Joe's being very vocal, and I know I've heard him be blunt before. And Joe's Joe. And he's been quoted saying, you know, yeah, I'm thinking the best. If, you know, I wouldn't be good at my job, to think about it. Well, adhere to that statement. I had the quote at my desk at work. Adhere to that statement. If you think you're the best, go out and play it. Don't go over there and go through motions. And this bothers me, man. Thank you for bringing it up. What he does, and I know he's called audibles before. He called the audible to the Macklin touchdown this year. He called the audible in the Super Bowl to Bolden. But I feel like certain situations warrant that. And I feel like he's always said about not audibling or checking out. He's like, no, I trust the coaching staff to call the right play. I just go out and run it. Yes, I give him kudos for that, trusting in the system. But you need to challenge authority when you know authority is wrong and say, no, we're going to do it this way, and if it works, tell me why we shouldn't do it.
Right.
And I feel like he just needs to grow a pair and just do it. You say, you know what? No, Marty, we're not calling that play. We're calling a quick slant on third down. You know what? No, they're expecting pass. We're calling a draw. I've said it time and time again. Apart from this season where you're seeing maybe Brady's old age at 40 and all that, but why have the Patriots been such a dynasty since Belichick took over? It's not a coincidence, because he's a great ball coach.
Right.
And I've seen him in his press conferences. I've seen him in the behind-the-scenes thing when they do the film things, like with the America's Game and the Football Life. The dude knows football, and his mantra up there, do your job. It just gets players to play out of their minds, and you've seen it before, and you're wondering why are you always tooting a Patriots horn? When they have a pedigree of success for so long, and they have a championship-caliber quarterback, and they have a system where, dude, the Patriots won a game. Yeah, granted, they were playing Tampa Bay and couldn't win and couldn't score, but they were playing without Gronk. They're talking to a team that went out their best offensive player right now. They're sitting at 3-2 without Edelman. Gronk was hurt, so they don't have all these weapons. You know, they won a championship with Gronk on the sideline. Hurt, done. He's out for the year. So without their best player, they're doing something. It's plug and play. Do your job. He gets the best out of them, and not to say Harbaugh doesn't do that, but there's a different method, different way of doing things, whether it's in Kansas City, whether it's in Pittsburgh, whoever. But the fact remains is it's – Patriots are always, and you'll hear it every show, the Patriots are playing chess when everybody's playing checkers. They play a different ball game.
Mm-hmm.
They outsmart you. And you've seen it in Super Bowl with the Seahawks. Seahawks outsmart themselves. Oh, they expected a run. And the Patriots even said they've seen that play before.
Yeah.
And they checked out of it. It was a quick slant. Butler read it. He picked the ball off, and the Patriots won another championship. Should have just kept it simple. It's the same thing. Just do what works, and don't get away from what doesn't. And I feel like the Ravens, they know what not to do, but I don't see a correction.
Right.
And it's like the definition of insanity. You're doing the same thing over again, expect a different result. Don't go out there on 3rd and 9 and do a 5-step drop and expect to get a first down. No.
Right.
Do something different. If not, we're going to keep predicting losses here to the end of the year, dude. It's going to get sick real quick.
All right. Well, for this one, for this Purple
Rant
Friday.
Over. Mic drop. Boom, boom.
Yeah, don't drop that mic. It's expensive.
No, that's why I just tapped it. Mic drop.
For the Purple Friday preview, have we covered everything?
Now I want to do mic drop. Quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right.
Yeah, it's going to get to a mic drop here. Soon if we go on like a 7-game losing streak, you might see a mic drop.
All right.
But I'm going to bring my own mic, though.
Yeah, you bring your own mic.
Yeah, because I just want to. It's like smashing the guitar at the end of a concert. Like, psh,
yeah.
Yeah, I want to do that. just the frustration. Like, just mic drop.
Yeah.
I'm done.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation
Overcast.
With Josh or I
got you.
it's real easy. Just follow us on Twitter @BrandoCash. This is where you can follow me. Where can people follow you at?
You can follow me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, go to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. You can also leave us an iTunes review. And it's a good thing we're on all those social media apps. Have you updated your phone to iOS 11?
Yes.
My God, that podcast app is terrible.
What happened? They've updated it 3 times because it's like I updated it. My phone was acting crazy.
Yeah.
Then they fixed the bugs. And then I got a third update on my iPad, and I found out it was like, oh, they correct that. It was like I got 3 updates in less than a week.
Ugh.
But right now, my stuff's running fine, so I think Apple. I've had an iPhone. This is the 3rd generation. I started at 4. Mm-hmm. I was on the Blackberries. You know, it was horrible. But I didn't have the 1st, 2nd, or 3rd generation. I started an iPhone 4, and I have the 6 now. I didn't do the 7. I'm not getting the 8 because I love my 6. But I tell you right now, as an Apple guy, whatever bug that happened, that's the first issue I've ever had with Apple, so I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
And all those years I've had Apple for almost 10 years, never had an issue.
Hmm.
Never had to trade in an iPhone, never crashed on me, so.
That's weird.
Yeah, but yes, it was frustrating with the podcast app because I didn't like it. I was like, what is this?
Every phone I've had at least like 3 that I've had to replace.
That's weird.
Like
you're an Apple guy too, like me. You have one. So yeah. I'm like, it's just, I guess, nature. You must have used the phone.
I'm always on the phone. So, mm-hmm. like, I had the 7 Plus.
I know. So, if you ignore my text, I know you're doing something.
I got that in January, and then I had to get a new one in May because, the screen had busted or whatever.
Yep.
But anyway, so you can find us on iTunes. So there's other places you can follow us. So it's iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm.
Overcast,
Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you guys to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so much, and yeah, man, we got to keep it real, man. We got to keep the Ravens in check. We got to, figure out what's wrong with this team. We can go out through the IR. We can do it every week in and week out. Who's injured? You know, who's not in? This is why we're losing. But we need to get back to winning formula. We started off so well, and it's just like what happened. I can see if we gradually got to that point. But when something was so good, and then the switch flips on us, I don't know. And I'm frustrated as anybody out there. And again, if you guys, I love all the listeners always offering their 2 cents on, talking the nuts and bolts of football, going, what might be wrong with the team, might not be. A lot of the listeners and fans out there, man, they're always texting me, tweeting me, what are your thoughts? This is what I see about the defense, the offense, special teams. I love it. We're all together trying to figure out what's wrong with our football team, and it just downright sucks. And I want to get over it. Brandon predicted a loss, going the trends, but, in this weekend, we need to get it right. And I feel like if the season don't get right now in October, it's going to be lost until through January, and then we're going to be wishing the 18 to get here. It's going to be a long off season, and it's just we're sick and tired of it. I want to get back to the playoffs. I want to get back to a winning pedigree here in Baltimore, and it's just been long overdue. Since the championship year, it's just been mediocrity, and I'm sick of it. I know everybody else is. Let's get back to it in Oakland on Sunday. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.